We are back with another episode of the Footy LG Pod. And guys, oh, I can't even contain what's going to happen in this episode. This is the first time in history. I believe this is episode 80. We have four people on the pod today. We have the original three Footy LG boys and myself, Tony and Dante. And obviously, you guys know what went down a few weeks ago, the last time the three of us came on. So we had to bring Joe back onto the show. So before I get into the boys, Joe, how are you doing, man?
I am great. Just watched Kevin De Bruyne masterclass.
Another Haaland, two goals. He becomes the fastest to 51 goals in the Prem in their first 50 games. Very impressive. I mean, what else can you want from a team like that, right?
72 and 78 in all competitions.
Like, that's
absurdity.
That's insane. Like, the way he's scoring goals, I mean, all he has to do now, I'm pretty sure, is score 42 goals a season for the next 16 seasons to be tied with Ronaldo.
Yeah, sounds about right.
if he keeps playing Everton.
All right. So you hear him. We also got Tony. We got Dante. Boys, how are you doing?
What's up, everybody? I'm doing great, Nico.
Yeah?
Happy to be back.
That's good to hear. Always good to have you, boys. I mean, we got a lot of stuff to get into, so we're gonna kind of frame this show just a little bit differently because, you know, let's get through the vegetables first, and then we'll get to the meat and potatoes of what everyone wants to hear coming up at the end. There's a few things we got to get through first, guys. It's been a long break. It feels like it's been years, but the Champions League is finally coming back this week. They said, hey, you guys got Valentine's plans? Fuck your wives, because you're just going to be watching Champions League on those days.
It's true.
And I mean, I'm pumped. The first four games, really nothing as in the exciting department, if I may be so blunt. I'm more excited for the following week's games, but let's talk a little bit about these. I don't think I'm crazy to say these four matchups are over before they start. I mean, Man City, Copenhagen. Anyone disagree? Is Man City is going through pretty easily?
Not even
close. Yeah, looks ugly. That one looks ugly. Oscar Bob and Rico Lewis will probably get some playing time. That's how ugly it's going to look.
I can't see how they wouldn't. I mean, Tony, I mean, out of everyone here, I know you're going to be, oh, maybe Copenhagen could win. Come on. Even you can't say this.
I could not that one, man. Like, I could play for City and we'll still win that game.
Okay, here we go.
Come on.
Oh, dear. Right. Okay.
So we're clear on that. Real Madrid, Leipzig. I mean,
no, I don't see it.
Yeah,
no. I'm going to disagree here. It's not going to be easy.
Joe, Leipzig's not good.
Well, they're not bad. They're not bad either. I mean, okay. They've done a great job with their youth academy. They've sold off some guys, but it's not. They're not going to roll over. I mean, Madrid will win maybe 3-1 on aggregate, 4-2, something like that.
I even think that's a bit.
Joe, their form is horrible right now. Leipzig.
Yeah.
But we all know that doesn't matter with regard to Champions League. We all know that. We should learn from these mistakes when we make predictions, gentlemen. We all know that doesn't matter.
I agree, and the games where I think that could come into play is going to be next week's games. I don't think it's going to be any of this week's games. Leipzig, to me, I mean, they've lost three of their last five. Right now, they're currently tied to Augsburg, who is 12th in the Bundesliga, 1-1. They're not the same team they used to be. They used to be that team that, you know, was fiery. They could surprise you at any given moment. I just don't see that in them right now, and they rely too heavily on some washed pork chops, you know? Like, I don't see it. You know what I'm saying?
Some washed pork chops.
That it ain't good. The one thing for them that I will say is Xavi Simons is an absolute baller.
I think that's probably why I believe in them a little bit, because I'm just in love with him. Like, I think he's incredible.
He is a very, very, very solid player. He is a baller. I don't know right now at his age if he's able to change a game of this magnitude, but I do like him a lot. But again, this is Real Madrid we're talking about. Definitely the greatest Champions League team of all time. The best Champions League team of the past 10 years. Like, these guys, they know how to get it done in this stage. I don't think RB Leipzig is going to phase them.
Where's the first game, guys? Where's the first game?
in Leipzig. So that's what I'm saying.
It's like, in Germany. Okay.
Madrid could kind of, okay, let's coast through with a 1-0 win, and then we just go to the Bernabeu and we friggin' beat their brakes off these guys.
All right. I think I've been persuaded.
And then PSG and Sociedad. PSG is definitely not the team they once were. If there's going to be upset here,
this will be the close one, yeah.
What do you guys think?
Yeah, this would be the closer.
No upset here. Real Sociedad is a very good team, but the form they're in right now is just not the same like it was before. So, I have PSG winning this, and Kylian Mbappe in the Champions League. It just looks too obvious.
Yeah, Joe, what do you think?
You know what? I think it all depends because we all know how Luis Enrique plays. And his playing style with that group of players. Mbappe's leaving. That news doesn't help a team. I don't care how good the team is. You can bet the rest of his teammates are not thrilled about him leaving. Even if they saw it coming, it doesn't make it any easier. Also, Sociedad are one of the funnest teams on the planet right now. Like, I enjoy them. And I don't enjoy La Liga at all. I think it's so boring, it hurts to watch. But they're making it fun. Like, I enjoy their stretch and press style, and that could definitely frustrate a team like PSG. It's going to be fun. I'm hoping for a Sociedad upset, but I don't expect it.
I'm hoping for one, too. I can't stand PSG.
I think PSG 3-2 or 4-3 on aggregate. It's going to be fun, though. They're going to be very fun legs of football, both of them.
Tone?
Yeah, I agree with Joe a little bit that I think Real Sociedad, despite being a much smaller club, will compete with PSG. But at the same time, I don't think they have it in them to just get over that hump of PSG. So I'll still give PSG this one.
I think what Sociedad's going to struggle with. I mean, last year they were playing amazing. This year they've definitely taken a step back. They just don't lose many games easily. You know what I mean? They draw a lot. So I could definitely see. I could definitely see them getting maybe a draw in one of the legs, but I just think PSG, they have too much attacking power that they will push through and get that win. As much as I would love to see Sociedad, I don't hate PSG as much as I did, partially because Messi's no longer there. And they always get the Jordan brand jerseys, which I love, but they're a very similar respect. Like we talked about this a few weeks ago, Dante, when we were on that, you know, everyone always says Man City's the oil club. They get all that money. PSG is very similar in that respect too, where I get why people do not like them because it's almost like they just say, hey, let's buy every player. And the one thing I don't like about when the players go there is because, you know, you're in the French league. You're technically a top five league, but barely. I don't think you're a top five league really anymore. And it's a waste of talent. Like I've been saying, Mbappe needs to get the hell out of there and get to a real team. But they have those players. I think they'll get through Sociedad, but in the next round, I think PSG is going to struggle greatly with the remaining teams.
Yes, I agree completely with that.
I have a question before, if I can interject.
Joel, what do you got?
So we talked about this the last time I was on a little bit, where we were talking about the silly extra tournaments that these leagues do to keep supporters interested and all of that stuff. You know how the UEFA ranking system, how they gave Germany and France an automatic top four? Why? Like, why? Like, Germany, I could argue, because they have a fun league. Even if Bayern win it all the time, they do have good teams that don't make it easy. But, like, the French league? Why are we putting the French league in that class? Is it because the French Federation produces such great international teams? Like, I don't understand how that possibly happened.
I believe that's why. I think it is. I do, because the French national team is good. And I think...
But they all come from teams outside of France or PSG. Like, yeah, none of the players are on Liga and teams. None of them.
Even better, though, when you're talking about that, if you want to talk about the French national team, none of the players for the French national team are French. They're all African.
Different. That's a different story. Yeah, that's a different story. Not one I was going to bring up, but fine. You said it first. I just don't understand. Because the German national team, I think on any given year,
you can handpick 5 to 7 players that are not Bayern Munich players, and then another 5 to 7 that come outside of the Bundesliga, right? So out of a 22-man roster, whatever it is it 23, whatever it is, 25, maybe 15 come from Bayern. It's more balanced. But the French team, like, they're all outside of France or on PSG. That's it.
Yep.
That's literally it. So you're producing like Toulouse and Rouen and Lyon in the Champions League. They don't do anything.
Just to play devil's advocate here, the French team could easily put a second national team out there and still make it to the quarterfinals of the World Cup, even with the reserve players that play in France. Like, even like the random stars that play with Lens and Marseille. Like,
you really think that?
If you look at the list of French players that can't make the national team after all those big name stars, they could still make a pretty deep run. You know, there's a reason why Mourinho said if players had to play in the nation they were born, Africa would have a World Cup, right? So there's a lot of stars.
All right, if that was the case, you would lose almost the entire French team.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, that French team is very, very deep. That even after, if you say, okay, no more stars from outside of France, they could still put a pretty decent...
But they're not all African-born, are they? They're not all of them African-born. Maybe they're African descendants, but they're not all African-born.
But quite a few are.
Majority are.
They are, eh, still? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, fuck me then, I guess.
No, but you know what? I agree with you with the French League. First of all, anyone who's listened to one single show of ours knows how much I fucking hate the French League. I think it is such a fucking waste of time for any of those players on PSG that want to be considered the best. Like, right now, really, you could argue that Kylian Mbappe is the best player in the world the way he plays. But how the fuck would we really know? He plays against fucking bums every week.
Well, he's proved it in the Champions League, though.
That's what I'm saying. He's proved it in the Champions
League.
In the
World Cup.
He's proved it in the World Cup. But how do you compare him to a guy like Haaland, who's proving it in one of the best leagues exactly. Week in and week out, where you have Mbappe, who beats up on freaking... club or Clermont Foot or whatever that team is, like weeks coming in. You know what I'm saying? He needs to move to a bigger team if he wants to be established as one of these.
I think that's why he's leaving, though, Nico. That's obviously why he's leaving.
Yeah.
But that's been the rumor for the past 2 years is he's leaving, and he still hasn't. I won't believe it until I see him with a Madrid jersey on because of all the rumors that have come out over the past. I swear to God, I've seen the same Instagram post the past 4 transfer windows.
But who said it? Did Fabrizio say it? Because if he said it, it's true.
Every transfer window now for the past 4, I think the past 2 seasons, there has been a Fabrizio Romano post about him linked up with Madrid, only for it to end. And then the next transfer window going, oh, the saga's back on. Every single time. And it's getting to the point now where everyone's annoyed of it. I think he is going to leave. The question just is now, I think we have to wait till the end of his contract because I don't think they're going to come to terms to buy him from PSG.
Until we see him doing keep-ups at the Bernabeu.
Exactly.
80,000 fans with the warm-ups and this and that. Nothing's going
to
happen.
Well, they always do the reveal, don't they?
Yeah.
Where the fans come to the stadium, they pay admission just to have a presentation by Florentino Perez. That guy loves money, man. I got to give him credit. Loves it.
Can't blame him there.
No, I don't blame him at all.
Yeah, no, it'll be definitely interesting to see what kind of comes to that scenario. But he's got to get out. He's got to get out. I mean, it's just the way it is. But yeah, it's interesting when you bring up the French league. I mean, when you talk about the German league, I kind of like you said, you know, it's not really the German league because you see how well they do in Champions League, right? You got Bayern, you got Dortmund, you got Leipzig. All three made it through the group stage. The only German team that didn't make it through the group stage, I believe, was right on the cusp. Berlin, no, they kind of got taken down. But still, like they all performed well when you look at compared to other countries. But yeah, French league, don't get it. But speaking of a league that, you know, I know you said the La Liga bores you to death. This league used to bore me to death. And, you know, it still kind of does. And that's the Serie A, if I'm being completely honest with you guys. When Ronaldo was on Juventus, I used to dread having to watch him play every week. And I've never missed it. Rarely missed a game from him. But we got a Serie A team in this round. We got Lazio against, I don't want to say a struggling Bayern Munich because they're still dominating. But definitely not the Bayern Munich of old. Any chance Lazio has to upset them in their first game because they play them at home first?
No, Bayern wins 5-1 easy.
Lazio
is overrated. I mean, they had a very surprising They had a very surprising run last year. They're back coming up a little bit. They've steered the ship better to wins this year, but Lazio's quality is nowhere near Bayern Munich. And even with Bayern Munich being struggling, like, I mean, Ciro Immobile still leads this team up front. Like, it's what's he going to do against that German, that Bayern Munich back line, right? So it's, I wouldn't even, the only thing that can save Grace is that Lazio's goalie Provedel is actually really good, and he may make a lot of big saves to keep the score close, but I would say this one's going to be a drumming for sure.
Yeah, all right, Joe, I know you got something to add in there. What do you got?
Well, I'm going to actually go further. Not only do I agree with Tony, this might be the real-life version of the Monstars versus the Toon Squad in Space Jam. Lazio might be one of the worst-coached teams on the planet. A chain-smoking, emotional Maurizio Sarri is not going to take you over the top against Bayern Munich. At every single position except goalkeeper, Bayern is better. Like, and not better by a little bit, better by a country mile. I see zero opportunity for Lazio here, like zero. Like, it might get very bad very quick.
Dante, you in agreement with these guys?
Yes and no. And the reason why I say that is we'll find out based on how they do against Leverkusen today. Because if they lose to Leverkusen today, it will be the biggest manslaughter of planet Earth because they'll be pissed.
Yeah.
If they, I don't know, maybe tie or even beat Leverkusen, I think Lazio, you know, finds a way to make a draw in this game and park the bus. But, you know, if Bayern puts it together right now and today against Leverkusen, we'll see what happens. But, you know, but like I said, I'm leaning towards Joe and Tony, but I'm not as confident as them. I do see the draw as a possibility in this game. But Lazio winning would be impossible.
There's something you guys aren't considering. There's one factor you guys are not considering, and that is the fact that Harry Kane does not win trophies. Bayern's not going to win Champions League, so they're going to get eliminated sometime. Who knows?
It's not going to be this round.
Just not this round.
Yeah, it's not going to be this round.
I agree. I think Bayern, you know what? They're such a better team. They have a lot of people doubting them. You know, they have a lot of people, even though they're still they're performing very well, but because of how well Leverkusen has been performing, they get kind of looked down on, and they're already out of all their other tournaments that could win trophies. So they're kind of saying, like, hey, you know what, this might not be a great season. They're gonna have a chip on their shoulder. I think they're gonna destroy Lazio as well. Yeah. They're just not that good. As for the next four matches, we'll get into those on our next episode, guys. So stay tuned for that. A lot of good matches there. But those four are the ones that are coming up this week in Champions League. Before we get to anything else, Tony, why don't you just lead us into some top bins, trash bins for a bit, and then we'll get into kind of some interesting things. You guys might have heard Tony and Joe kind of agree for a few things there. Let me tell you, that's going to stop moving forward.
Oh, dear. Joe, I don't know. I don't know if you watch WWE, but I got my The Rock turning heel situation going on over here. So I got the black tank top on. So
let me
just get prepared.
So Tony, before we get into that, let's get to some top bins, right. Trash bins.
So starting it off, obviously there was the Riyadh Cup that happened during this past, I think it was Friday or Thursday. But Undertaker came out and unveiled the trophy. Top bins, trash bins, Undertaker coming out for the Riyadh Cup.
Yeah,
honestly,
I saw that. It's cool. I don't like the fact that they just have a random friendly and they make it a trophy just because they wanted to take some time off from the league. I thought we were getting back into league play, and that would have been a massive game from the first place team facing the second place team. But then I found out it was a friendly, and then there's a little trophy. That part's stupid. Having the Undertaker come out, man, all it does is shows how much money these Saudis have to fly a guy like the Undertaker and have him come full friggin' wrestling attire, make an entrance. Yeah, it's cool enough. I'll give it top bins.
I agree with Nico here. I think it was top bins, but you know what? If it was a meaningful game, that would have been even better.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know what? Like, obviously, when that gong goes, just the whole crowd just erupts. And, you know, it would have been so sick if it was a real game. Another thing cool, they could have added maybe a few more things, like a lightning kind of like striking the field or something. that would have been sick. I mean, if you got all that money in the world, that would have been something, you know, make it at least, you know, graveyard like. But yeah, no, I thought it was top bins by a mile.
Joe, what do you think?
Top bins. I think Dante said it best when he said if it was a real game. I'm going to go even further and say if it was a real league. I'm sad that we even talk about it. I think the only reason we do talk about it is because one of my favorite all-time players is there with Al Nassr. Otherwise, we wouldn't even talk about it. But anyway, I love you, Cristiano. That was my opportunity to say that. Anyway, yeah, any context to which The Undertaker does anything is a big A-plus for me because I love The Undertaker. That's all I'll say about that.
Yeah, that's how much money they threw at him that he actually said, I'll do it.
Yeah, well, do they need a lot of money anymore? The guy's like 900.
He doesn't, but I mean, are you going to say no to like probably a couple million just to
drop the trophy off? Absolutely not.
Dollars. Yeah.
All right. So the second one, so the African Cup of Nations final is this weekend. And one of the Gary Neville obviously had some crazy, well, not crazy comments, actually surprising, calling out the Premier League refs saying that the AFCON refs actually do a better job than the Prem refs. Top bins, trash bin.
Oh, that's bad. Who said that?
Gary Neville.
Gary Neville's a trash heap. Oh my goodness.
He brought it up as pretty much how AFCON has been using VAR in much better phases than the Premier League does.
I mean, sure, I guess.
I'll be honest with you, I agree with him because this year's Prem refs have been very, very bad.
Because Gary Neville said it, though, it's trash bins. Because I literally respect nothing out of that man's mouth.
I can't stand that guy either.
That guy's an absolute clown of ass proportions. He is a disaster when he speaks. I just can't do it. Although I liked him in the Beckham documentary, may the record show.
I honestly haven't watched enough AFCON to judge the refereeing. I think the reffing is always a hot button issue and everywhere you go, and it all depends on which team you're rooting for. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If a call goes your way, you're loving the refs. If it doesn't, you're hating the refs, right? And there have definitely been some issues in the Prem with it this year. Hasn't it been in the AFCON? I don't know. I haven't been watching. If Gary Neville says it, then it must be true. So I'll give him top bins for that.
Yeah, I mean, I regretfully give him top bins. I can't stand that guy, the way he talks about other, European teams, for the record as well. He thinks England is like the glory of all glory of teams, and their track record speaks for themselves. But yeah, no, I can't stand that guy. But yeah, sadly, I gotta agree with him on this one.
All right, and the final one, obviously, Super Bowl weekend. Super Bowl is tomorrow. Actually Sunday, yes, because it's gonna come out on Thursday.
Yeah. Yes, Super Bowl will be in the past, but guys, we're recording this the day before the Super Bowl.
But the bigger question is, as I saw a video on Instagram asking fans, is the Super Bowl bigger than the World Cup final?
No. Hell no.
I mean, no. Objectively speaking, absolutely not, because the world watches one event and basically four countries watch the other. However, statistically speaking, over an entire season, the NFL does get more ratings, but that's because 300 million people in one place watch one sport, which is American football, and are lazier than European people in general and don't leave their homes. So, it's absolutely not bigger than the World Cup final. That's just the stupidest thing I've ever heard. No.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even the ratings alone, the last Super Bowl versus the last World Cup final, it wasn't even close. I think the World Cup was like 1 billion viewers and the Super Bowl was only 100 million viewers. Like, again, kudos to them. 100 million is a shitload of viewers, or 200 million, whatever it is a lot. But 1.5 billion watching the final. I mean, I did see, Tony, that video you're talking about, or at least one of those, and someone kind of stitched it, and it was a British guy, and he's like, the Super Bowl's not even bigger than the FA Cup final, for fuck's sakes. And I was like, okay, I don't know about that. But
well, you got to think, everyone, it depends who's, like, everyone watches the Cup final, the FA Cup final, right? Like, that's all over the world. That's thrown all over the world, too.
Yeah, maybe the FA Cup final, like, the Champions League final is probably the same size as the Super Bowl ratings wise are bigger. So how could the World Cup not be bigger?
Yeah.
It's silly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I will say trash bins to people saying those Americans that were saying the Super Bowl's bigger. It's just not.
And not only that, like that France Argentina game.
Best game you've ever seen.
Exactly. I would take that game a million times more than some garbage Chiefs versus Niners game. So, I'll leave it at that.
You said it, Dantino. You said it.
All right, boys. Well, then you know what? Fuck it. This is the day before, so people will hear this come out on the day of. Who's winning the big game? I know, Dante, you're going. You want Niners, but you think Chiefs?
Yeah, my money's on the Chiefs, but my heart is with San Francisco. I can't stand Taylor Swift. You know what? Just this garbage narrative that I had to see. And to be honest, I think it's a fake relationship between her and Kelce.
Oh, me too. Oh, I was just saying this yesterday. It's so fake.
I don't care what anyone says. It is so fake for money. And it's just, you know what? It just makes me sick. Like, just give me my football back.
Tone, who do you got? I know you're the same. I know you got the Niners.
I'll take the Chiefs.
You got the Chiefs as well. Another very notorious Taylor Swift hater as well, and Tony Savoia, in case anyone needs to know.
Yeah, you know me. You know me with the conspiracy theory. So
okay, 13. I'll leave it at that.
Joe, who do you got?
Can they both lose? Is that an option or no? Right. I guess the only thing that would give me some kind of enjoyment is to see Kyle Shanahan lose another big game. That would make me very happy. But that relationship is so fake, Dante. Totally agree. I don't dislike Taylor Swift though. Like, I don't really.
Thank you, Joe.
Like, she doesn't make me like her, but I don't dislike her. Like, she's just nothing to me. But yeah, they are really trying to push the whole Taylor Swift thing down everyone's throat, and it's kind of weird. It doesn't make me angry. It's just, I find it weird. Like, why are we even talking about her, like, at all? This is very odd to me. But she's all right. Her music's okay. Like, it's fine. Whatever. But yeah, I think the Chiefs will win. If I had to give an objective prediction, it's probably the Kansas City Chiefs. I also will wager some money to that effect as well.
So we got three Chiefs. One who likes Taylor Swift, but is done with the stuff. Other two, not big fans. I fucking love Taylor Swift.
You're a weirdo. Everyone knows. Can we cancel all, Nico, guys? Can we kick him off the show?
I think her music, especially as of late, phenomenal. I don't think she's done anything wrong as a person. It's the media, really, who's been highlighting her. I don't think it's anything about her in particular that she's not asking for this, you know? It's just like, she's just getting a kind of like a casualty of all this stuff because it follows her. However, with that being said, I will be the one person that goes different. I think the Niners are the better team in every single way than the Chiefs, minus the quarterback situation. And I just feel that they are too dominant of a team. And Kansas City has not been good. They don't have anyone other than Travis Kelce who can catch the ball. They on offense, they have taken a step back this year. I think they've gotten lucky to get where they are. And I think San Francisco is going to handle them pretty easily.
I don't think I've recovered from your Taylor Swift's music is great take.
It is low key one of my biggest like guilty pleasures, and it's not.
It's not low key. You're outwardly saying it.
It used to be low key. It's not anymore. Her album Folklore is a fucking masterpiece. Like
it really is not
all day long.
Oh my goodness.
Have you listened to it start to end? Like it is so calming, just nice to listen to, man. She's I used to hate her when she was in the country. I am not a country music fan whatsoever.
This is getting worse. It's just getting worse.
The later stuff she has done, guys.
The only good music she made was country, and you're like, I hated her as country. Oh, anyway,
country's awful.
We're not going to talk about Taylor Swift on this beautiful, beautiful show. You know, I will
think he's 22 again.
I'm going to say this one thing, guys, okay? Tony, Dante definitely agree with me. Nico definitely will not agree with me. But it's like going to Italy in the summer and going to a gelateria and going to get some ice cream and looking at the vanilla flavor and, like, avoiding all of the incredible flavors and being like, yeah, that's the best one. The plain, non-flavorful one.
Joe, don't hate.
Espresso. Like, no.
Hey, Joe, don't hate me, but that's the only option I can get because of all the peanuts and shit. So I have to pick the vanilla.
You can have. What are you talking about? You can have like fruit flavors or coffee. What are you talking about?
Nobody touches the vanilla one, so that they never have that one contaminated with any chances, right?
Yeah, no cross contamination.
Well, as long as you have it with espresso, I won't hate you. That's fine.
Affogato.
Dante gets it. Anyway, Taylor Swift, pun intended, is the most vanilla artist of all time. Pun intended.
We knew we were going to get a feud this episode. I didn't think we were going to expect that one.
Okay, so you know what? You know what? We waited long enough. We're going to get into it now. Before I bring up Tony's comments from 2 weeks ago, Joe, I want to ask you a question. It's something that you mentioned when we started Toppins Trashmans. I kind of want your opinion. Why is your opinion so low of the Saudi League?
Oh, goodness. I guess it's all attached to the way they're just throwing money at it and not actually developing a league. To me, that's not developing a league, throwing money at players. Like, if you really want a league that is sustainable and competes and holds value, then you got to build it from, like, grassroots. You have the money to build stadiums, which you've done. You have the money to market it, which you've done. And I do understand you need faces to bring there to grow the league, but you also got to grow the game in your country. Like, give young boys in your country an opportunity to grow in the game, which I don't think they've done at all. And their international presence shows it. I don't know. That's just my bottom line opinion. I'm not going to take a high road approach what most people do when they're like, oh, it's an immoral country and they treat women poorly. No, because that has nothing to do with the sports league. The sports league in itself, I don't think they're developing any grassroots anything. I think they're just throwing money at it, and I can't respect that.
So the reason I asked that is twofold. First off, I mean, I do agree with your points 100%. However, I mean, Saudi Arabia was the only team to beat Argentina in the World Cup.
Sure. Okay.
To be fair. But however, with that being said, the reason I ask, because it makes me funny, because you say, you know, they don't start grassroots. They just throw money. I mean, isn't that the Man City way?
Well, it really is not. It really is not. It absolutely is not. That's an outrageous question. That's an outrageous question.
How is it not?
Of course it's not. I mean, the majority of their purchases, with the exception of Haaland, have been younger players that teams have given up on, or high potential players that they've developed.
Outside of Foden, who have they developed?
Well, now Oscar Bob and Rico Lewis.
Oh,
but...
I got one. Uh-oh. Micah Richards.
Okay, Micah Richards. Don't even start. At the beginning.
I had to put that one down.
For sure. That was very funny. Thank you very much. At the beginning, of course, like, when you want to start winning at the beginning, you're going to purchase players that aren't your own. But they developed there. I mean, is anyone going to tell me Vincent Kompany was an all-world defender before he got there? No. And Kevin De Bruyne was not the greatest midfielder we've ever seen before he got there. Two teams gave up on him before that. And we're going to talk about Bernardo Silva as an elite all-world winger in Monaco? Absolutely not. Like, nobody's going to be saying that.
But Kompany and Bernardo Silva were great players in Anderlecht and Benfica. Oh, sorry, Monaco.
Sure.
They were developed in Anderlecht and...
So Man United has never purchased anyone that was a good player before they got there.
Yeah, but Man United has a long list of players that came through that academy.
Sure, they have more history, absolutely. But you got to give a team a chance to build it.
But Man City's had this... is it Saudi money that they have, or is it somewhere else?
It's Dubai money. It's Dubai money.
They've had the oil money now since, what, like 2005, 2003?
2008.
So we're at... 16 years now. You should be seeing remnants of an academy by now.
We are seeing it.
Well, you are, though. Cole Palmer on Chelsea, that everyone wants to talk about as the next English superstar. Sure. Phil Foden's one of the best English players in the world.
Only because he's British. If he was any other nation, he wouldn't be considered anything.
Sure. Okay, sure. Phil Foden's an absolute G, but sure. That's fine.
Yeah, if he wasn't British, I don't think he would get the same recognition.
He's not really? Top tier. He's not top tier British yet, because right now that title's held by Bellingham.
That's a British title.
That's top tier right now. But I've always been a
disrespect to Phil here.
I think he's a good player.
He's a good player.
Fantastic. He's got absolutely hardworking player. Yes, absolutely top tier. Fresh off a hat trick, by the way.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing. What I'm saying with that, with respect to that, I do strongly think England overrates a lot of their players.
Yeah.
And Phil Foden, again, to me, I think he is a product of being able to play with one of the best midfielders of all time. I think you put a lot of people in his position. When you have that team around him, they can probably perform similar. I'm not saying he's bad by any means. He's doing what he has to do. I just don't hold him as to high esteem as some other players that I've seen in the league. I think he has a lot of flaws in his game, but he also has a lot of good things in his game too.
I mean, we're not going to agree on this really at all, but I respect the opinion. Believe me,
it's about to get a lot worse, Joe, on your side. So before I get into that, though, Joe, I want you to clear something up for Tony, because it's something me and Tony have argued tooth and nail. And when we talked last, you explained it very well to me. So I'd like you to explain it very well to Tony. And there's actually been a few developments since we've last chatted, Joe, about the sanctions and the charges placed on Manchester City. So obviously they said now if they've been proven guilty, they will be relegated. I don't think they'll be proven guilty after what we talked about. Can you just explain it a little bit better to Tony? Because Tony likes to think that this is all because Man City throws the most money and got caught cheating and all this stuff, when I know that's not the case. So I just need you, Joe, to just explain it a little bit more so I don't have to do it to Tony, because I don't have the way with my words like you did. So if you could just explain it a little bit better for me. You don't have to give the whole thing like you did before. Just kind of the bare meat and potatoes of what went on. That'll be really helpful.
Joe,
before,
before
we start the conversation.
Joe, just do the spark notes, because I'm just going to disagree the whole thing. So.
Well, I already know you're going to disagree with it because you support Manchester United, you poor thing. But
he hates Man U too. Chelsea, he hates Chelsea. Man U as well.
Oh, you're a Chelsea supporter, and he wants to talk about money being thrown at things? Oh,
that's what I said.
That's disgusting. You know, Tony, you make me absolutely sick.
They do it the right way.
Though. One is Russian oil money, and one is Qatari oil money. Oh, no. It's all the same. Give me a break.
It's not Russian oil money anymore.
It was.
Laker money.
It was.
Laker money now.
Who did they do their winning with? Russian oil money.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, now they're using American money and they're getting us kicked.
But I just want to go out there and say your best player is a product of the Chelsea Academy.
And who is that?
So
no, he's not.
He came through Chelsea. He started
Erling
Haaland
did not come through Chelsea.
Earlier, how De Bruyne is the best player in the world.
De Bruyne is the best player on our team. Yeah, that's true.
I'm talking about Joe. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
what Joe said.
I disagree. I think Haaland right now is the best player on
the team. Well, that's another ridiculous take. But that's fine.
My point is that De Bruyne came from Chelsea, so.
He did.
No, I gotta go De Bruyne. I gotta go De Bruyne. Hold on.
I will say this. De Bruyne never won Man City Champions League.
Oh, Erling my Holland goodness. Is he still just talking, saying? Dante? Is someone talking?
Yeah, am I wrong? Am I wrong?
You are completely wrong. Yes.
Broke the record for most EPL goals in 1 year in his first season. Did all that within his first season to say he's not the best player, when goals is arguably the biggest factor when you're talking about the best. When you look at the top guys we always talk about.
Is it though?
Always about who scores the most goals. Who's the best two players in the world? Messi and Ronaldo. Who gets compared the most when you look at their goals? It's the number
They're
one factor.
They're an exception, Nico.
The
they do everything.
I disagree.
They do everything. Ronaldo is as good of a passer of the ball as he is a scorer of the ball, which is why I love him. But most people won't talk about that because they just see him hang in the air for 8 seconds and score a ridiculous header. And that's all they remember. But Ronaldo's a fantastic team player. He's a great player.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. Yeah. No one needs to question my love for Ronaldo.
Doesn't change your Kevin De Bruyne take. That is horrid.
As much as I love Kevin De Bruyne in the midfield, I'm not saying he's a bad midfielder. He's a fucking excellent midfielder. But when you look at that Man City team, there was
one
of, if not the best right now.
Yeah.
But when you look at that team, they weren't able to get over the hump because they did not have a striker. Sure, they could win the Prem, and when you have that many games to get back, but you saw it. Before Haaland showed up, they had that no striker to run through the middle, and that's where they struggled in Champions League every time. Haaland came in, instantly made the impact. The way he scores goals, and the goals he scored too, are insane. In my opinion, he is right now the best player on that team. I think it's sure it could be close between him and KDB. I also think Bernardo Silva is super underrated and he's up there in that conversation as well, because that guy is a wizard with the ball. But right now, to me, it's Haaland.
I think you're confusing the missing piece to the best player. I think you're confusing the two things, respectfully. But if I had a City player rankings right now, Haaland would barely make number 3.
That's been hurt.
How?
He's been hurt.
With form right now or form over the last 2 years?
Form over the last 2 years. He's number 3.
Oh, that's crazy. That's
he scored
wild.
Over. He scored. How many goals? You brought it up in how many competitions? How many goals has he scored?
Guys, first of all, put it on a silver platter. And I'm not even.
Bruno was injured last year too.
You're making me take away from Haaland, who I love very much, which I'm not doing. But it's just importance to the team and quality. He's maybe number 2 or 3.
Like he's tied with Rodrigo at number two.
Joe, I think City's got a good team, but if you take Haaland off that team, I don't think you guys win the Prem this year.
Exactly. He's the missing piece. He's not the best player. Those are two very different things. Very different things.
You're right. They are very different things, but I also think they can also be a same thing when you are the best. You're the missing piece, and now you're also the best. I just think the way he scores goals in a clip is something that's never been seen before in the Premier League. He is a different animal. He's a completely different beast, and he is my opinion. If to say he's not one in De Bruyne, I can understand your take on that. I disagree. To say he's barely top three over the past 2 years is absolutely insane.
Not barely, but he is top three. He's not number one. He's not.
It's tough. It's tough. Dante, what do you think, man?
Yeah, Dante's in the corner over here. drinking water. just watching the fire just go out.
Basically. Yeah, no, I think Kevin De Bruyne is very special, guys. You know, and people underestimate his quality and what he brings to Man City. I've always been an he's always been an admiration to me for the way he passes the ball, the way his vision is just, it's second to none. And I truly believe he's the best player in the Premier League. I know it's a bold take, but, you know, just you can't create players like that. And it's very hard to develop a player like that. So, City is going to be so dominant with this guy moving forward. And I feel sorry for a lot of teams coming up.
Speaking of, Burnley just tied Liverpool right now at halftime, which is lovely, lovely news. Dan O'Shea, you magnificent, magnificent man.
We've seen this a million times. They're going to tie, and Jota's going to score on 2 minutes.
I was going to say, how hot? if we're gonna bring up Liverpool, how hot has Diogo Jota been in his last eight games?
Six
goals, two assists. He has found a new level to perform at.
Well, that's the magic of Jurgen Klopp, too. And Pep Guardiola is those two guys, more than anyone in the league, find players and just mold them into the beasts that they want to mold them into. Stones, Exhibit A.
Joe, with that being said, I would like to bring up a conversation we had 2 weeks ago on the show. I actually, you know what, Dante, me and you might just want to sign off after this because I think Joe and Tony can go on for about an hour I agree. I'm about to say. So, Joe, we had an argument 2 weeks ago about the top five coaches of all time. My list.
Dante's I actually remember list, that. Yeah.
Was familiar, was very close. We had a few disagreements, but we were kind of along the long lines. Tony's list. He happened to have Sir Alex Ferguson at number four of all time.
That's which I thought hilarious.
Was insane.
Okay.
And he left Pep Guardiola off his list completely.
My good
and
Lord.
Not only that, when I challenged him about that, he went further to say that not only is he not top five, he is one of the most overrated coaches of all time and really doesn't impact the team whatsoever.
Oh, that's just lunacy. How do you even argue with that? You can't argue with that.
Thank you. I couldn't.
It's true.
I'm just not even going to dispense energy on that because it just makes zero sense.
I just think anyone can coach that City team and do what he's done.
But they can't.
I don't
because it's been proven nobody could. Nobody could.
You look. Yeah, but he didn't either. It took him how long to win the Champions League?
It doesn't matter.
He had to buy the Norwegian to win the Champions League.
Well, yeah. That was the one thing that won them the Champions League. Sure.
But if he's such a great coach, you should have been able to win this already.
They've come extremely close. They've come extremely close.
One time they went to the final. They lost a Tuchel's Chelsea, which was – they didn't finish top four that year. I think they finished like eighth that year, and they lost that game. It was COVID. It was the year after COVID.
It was the year after COVID, yeah.
You could even take –
if it was a COVID year, I would say, okay.
But you can take his time out of Man City. You can ignore all that. Even just his time at Barca and Bayern make him a top five coach.
I know. Like, just silly.
I still think the most telling stat of all time for coaches is when you look, what do you want to do as a coach? What is your number one goal as a coach over everything else? To win.
Win and score. Right?
I don't give a shit which tournament, whichever. You want to win. So when you look at the winning percentage by coaches in soccer or football, whatever you want to call it, Pep Guardiola is number one by a landslide. Like, it's not even close. He's the only coach with a higher than 70% win percentage. It's not even close. I don't get, Tony, how you can't even put that in your top five. It's insane to me. And again, and I still think Alex Ferguson at four is fucking wild. I don't understand that either.
I just look at, like, the way I saw it was I just looked at the, like, other coaches and what they were able to do. And I just see Pep and it's like, okay, I get it. But I mean, the reality is this guy tied Ted Lasso. Like, come on. Like, how do you put him?
Oh, fuck off.
Okay. I just want to list a list of players. I want to list a list of players that Tony would agree with me are among the top 100 to ever play and who all grew under Pep's tutelage. And all of them credit him with growth.
I'm telling you right now, he won't agree that it was Pep. He won't agree. I even said Lionel Messi didn't start performing at his high pace until Pep was there.
And that's the first. That's example number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. But I'm not even gonna mention Leo Messi right now. Okay. A young German defensive midfielder that the entire world tries to buy for $150 million every year.
Don't say Kimmich.
Joshua Kimmich. Yeah, that's example number one. Number two, an Austrian defender that grew under his tutelage. That's one of my favorites that I've ever seen. A young colored boy by the name of David Alaba that is better than every defender to ever even step foot on Stamford Bridge. That isn't named John Terry or Thiago Silva. Okay. How about a guy by the name of Robert Lewandowski? How about him? How about him scoring four goals in like 10 seconds for Bayern every single year?
Robert Lewandowski was developed by Klopp. Let's not put Pep Guardiola's name on that.
Sure, sure. Okay, sure. You know what? Forget it. I'm going to talk about Leo. Because how could you look at one of the greatest players ever and who grew under him and say he's Frank not one of the best coaches of all time?
Frank Rijkaard started that.
Oh, my good Lord.
He just took Frank Rijkaard's assignment. Sure. I used to do this all the time with my friends who had the first semester.
Kevin De Bruyne. Kevin De Bruyne. John Stones.
Kevin De Bruyne was from Chelsea, let him go. And then when he started developing Wolfsburg, he just pushed him over.
Did he, though?
I wouldn't say he's developed. I think so.
Okay. What about John Stones' Champions League final performance last year?
I'll give you that. John Stones was a good player last year. He played great. I'll give him that. But reality is, that's just the English name that puts him up high.
What about Ruben Dias?
There's a lot.
What about Alexis Sanchez? What about him? We're going to forget about Alexis now? What about him?
But you want to talk about Alexis when he was in Man U? You want to talk about him in Arsenal? Because he's not that good. He had a couple good years.
Oh, my good Lord in heaven.
And he also was dominant in Arsenal. He was unreal at Arsenal.
Alexis was unreal.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't really say Pep is like an unreal player and just put him in a position.
Okay.
What about Ibrahimovic? What do you do with Ibrahimovic? Ibrahimovic was one of the best strikers in the world when he went to Barcelona.
Bro, Ibrahimovic, I'm not even talking about.
What about Thierry Henry when he was?
I'm not mentioning those guys because they weren't developed by him.
I'm just saying that I think what Pep does, anyone can do it. I think any of the top coaches in the world. I mean, elite coaches could do the same thing with that squad. You give Mourinho this City squad. You give
He's gonna park the bus with this City squad.
But they'll win Champions League quite a more often than he did.
Really? What did he do with Real Madrid with Ronaldo and Bale and Benzema and all of those guys? What did he do with them? Besides nothing. Besides not even win La Liga.
You're right on that one. But then you're talking about a guy that won with Porto
My thing, Tony, is what I disagree with you on is your own logic is used against stuff because you say anyone can do it with that team, right? You said anyone could do it, but you also have Zinedine Zidane in your top five, and I'd say is actually probably anyone could have done it with that Madrid team more than anyone can do it with this current Man City team.
Yeah, but three Champions Leagues in a row, you can't not ignore that. I had Zidane
in my top five.
You also had Pep in your top five, is what I'm saying.
Yes,
like, you're saying what Pep's done, anyone could do. But I think what you put Zidane's situation in, anyone could do as well. Zidane's
I think the glaring two as well for the Chelsea fan are Raheem Sterling and Cole Palmer. Those are the glaring two.
Raheem Sterling was developed in Liverpool, Joel. Let's not get like.
Oh my goodness. Are we going to the same guy that was booed out of Anfield every week was developed there? Give me a break. That's outrageous.
Raheem Sterling fucking blows. I will say that off the top. Raheem Sterling came from Liverpool. He is one of the most overrated players in the Prem. He is a top example of English players that overrate their own guys to better than they are. I don't think Raheem Sterling is even an above average player. I think he is horrible. At best like, average.
All the club legends of Man City were developed by someone else. You got Aguero, Atletico Madrid in Argentina. De Bruyne was Chelsea and Wolfsburg. Sterling.
You can't say that about De Bruyne. That's just not true. He made his career in Manchester City. That's where his career was made.
Somewhere else. He didn't come through the City Academy like a Totti or a Gerrard. You know, like they didn't come through the academy.
Yeah, but you're nitpicking. You don't have to come from an academy to develop somewhere. That's nitpicking. It's what most football fans do. It's just nitpicking.
I don't think it's nitpicking. I think it's legit.
Where did Kawhi Leonard make his career? San Antonio Spurs or the Toronto Raptors?
San Antonio.
Exactly. Because he grew there. Yeah, he spent the most of his career there. Right?
I'll never say Nick Nurse.
But he was also drafted. He was also drafted by the he wasn't drafted by the Spurs, but that was the team where he started in the NBA.
He was traded from the Spurs.
Yeah. Basically.
Exactly. Like, so he didn't start in the Spurs, but he grew there.
Well, no, he started in the Spurs. It was a draft night trade.
Draft night trade. Okay, so he started there. But we don't think of Clippers Kawhi Leonard and think, wow, that's where he made his career. No, he made it there.
That's the same thing. That's the same way I look at De Bruyne.
But no, that's not what happened. Because just because he started with Chelsea doesn't mean he was good there.
I got an end to this conversation. Did Alex Ferguson develop Ronaldo?
Yes.
Alex Ferguson is the greatest coach of all time.
And Ronaldo was a part of Sporting system, but went to Man U, and that's where he developed.
He played one season.
But he was through the whole system. He was through the whole system.
But there's a difference when you play one season as a pro in Sporting and then go to Man U as an 18-year-old.
But your logic is academy, though, isn't it? Isn't it academy?
No, but I'm saying that De Bruyne played pro with Chelsea. He played pro in Wolfsburg.
He was given up on.
And then he went to City.
It doesn't matter. They gave up on him there. He was supposedly bad there. Mourinho sold him for $5 to Wolfsburg.
I agree. Chelsea made a mistake. I'm not saying they did it. I'm not saying Chelsea didn't make a mistake. I'm just saying there's a big difference between Pep buying De Bruyne and Ferguson buying Ronaldo.
Well, Pep didn't buy De Bruyne either. He didn't buy De Bruyne either. But that's besides the point. Where did he grow and where did he become the greatest midfielder we've ever seen? It was under one man's tutelage. Not Manuel Pellegrini's. Not Roberto Mancini's. It was under the bald, super sexy Wonder Man named Pep Guardiola. That's just the bottom line.
I think it's safe to say we're all in agreement there, Joe, except for Tony.
Anyway,
Tony
Sir Alex Ferguson not being on your list or being number four or whatever. I mean, I don't even know how to deal with that.
This is what I want to bring up next because this is a conversation me and Dante had that I agree. So in my list, I put Pep 2, Mourinho 3, Dante had Mourinho 2, Pep 3. I tend to side with Dante's reasoning and Dante's list of having Mourinho over Pep just because of when you look. Mourinho's won with some absolute hot garbage teams. He was able to turn them around. When you look at breadth of work, like Dante, if you want to jump in here too, like what Mourinho's done is super special, right?
Absolutely, Nico. And, you know, like I said, what he did with Porto was second to none, one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
I agree with your logic to have him above Pep. I put Pep above just because of the whole win percentage argument. But Joe, what's your opinion on that argument right there of Pep versus Mourinho?
I'll always have Pep over Mourinho. The only reason I would agree with Dante if I wasn't biased and loved Pep so much. If I was just an outside fan, the only reason I would agree is what Mourinho did to Pep's Barcelona in 2010 with Inter Milan. That was a masterclass of managerial effort. What he also did with Porto is pretty crazy, especially in 2004 with the quality of competition.
Against Sir Alex Ferguson's Man U. He had another unreal performance in Champions League that year.
That's right.
Right?
And Pep's Barcelona with Inter.
That's what I was just mentioning. Yeah, what he did with Inter against Pep's Barcelona, getting the red card late, it's still hanging on. It was very impressive. I actually remember that semifinal very vividly because I was definitely very upset to see Barcelona go out at that time. But regardless, I still put Pep a little bit above just for player development. I'm all about player development with managers. And I've never seen a manager other than Sir Alex develop players the way Pep does at all. The stars that are littered around the world that grew up under his tutelage, we can argue that till the cows come home.
I guess Ancelotti's just a plumber then.
No, so I have Sir Alex, Pep, Ancelotti, Mourinho as my 1-4. That's what I have. Because Don Carlo also is just the man. And I don't think anyone...
He's amazing at developing play. I don't think there's anyone better than him.
Yeah, like what he did with Milan, and I'm a big AC Milan fan. What he did with Milan is...
Even Juventus before that.
He's unbelievable. Like, with Juventus before, absolutely. With David Trezeguet and Pavel Nedved and all that. It's Don Carlo. Right. If you want to tie Pep and Ancelotti, you can. Because I think they're head-to-head very, very close. I think they...
Oh, Ancelotti has more trophies, but Pep has bigger win percentage.
No, but I mean against each other. I mean against each other. Like when their teams play against each other. I think they're very even. Like I think Ancelotti's the only manager that comes close to having a good win percentage against a Pep Guardiola team. I think he's the only one that comes close. Yeah. I would have to double check that. I think someone has to fact check.
Total. I don't have against Pep's teams, but against a total win percentage, Ancelotti ranks 10th all time.
And where does Pep rank?
Pep is total win percentage. Pep is number one. Right? And it's not even close.
Oh, percentage. Percentage, for sure he would be.
Conte is second with 68% win percentage. Pep is first with 76. Like, it's not even close, is what I'm trying to say.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but when you look at the trophies, though, Ancelotti's a lot higher than Pep.
Can I tell you why I don't have Pep? Why I sometimes flip-flop with Mourinho and Pep? The one thing I will agree with Tony on is that Pep has always had amazing teams.
Yeah,
you could say some of it's from his development, sure you can, and I'm not gonna hold you. I wouldn't say that you're wrong, but he's always had a Barcelona team that potentially had one of the best, if not the best, people argue tooth and nail, that best player of all time. You could say that's because of Pep's development, sure
it was, because he coached the academy for 6 years before that.
But they also had the best midfielders, two of the best midfielders this game has ever seen. He also coached Thierry Henry there. He also coached Samuel Eto'o there, I believe. Like, he had some amazing players at Barcelona. When he moved over to Bayern Munich, he had some amazing players at Bayern Munich those 3 years. When he went to Man City, he had amazing players on the team when he started as well there too. Like, De Bruyne was there the year before he got there. They had a great team.
They were
winning champ just for 1 year, I believe. It was
just 1 year, yeah. It was the 1 year.
They still had a stacked team when he showed up to Manchester City. You know what I mean? So it's not like he's never had that team where he kind of took from obscurity like Mourinho did with Porto. Or even Inter Milan for that same argument. The way even Mourinho Chelsea. turned them around.
He pushed Chelsea even better too.
When he took over Chelsea, Mourinho, he kind of pushed them and made them relevant in the Prem too, like in the Sir Alex era. Pep's never done that. And again, that's nothing
because he's never had to, because he was always sought out by the best. So what are we even talking about?
No, 100%. But I'm just saying that is an indicator as well. You know, he's always been sought out by the best. So again, you can't fault him
for that's a what if argument. But also, if we want to talk about academies, gentlemen, let's talk about academies. 6 seasons he developed that Barcelona academy before he was officially hired in 2007 by Barcelona.
One of the best academies.
In the world. The best academy. And who coached it to 6 straight trophies? He did. So I understand the whole argument. He never had it difficult. But he didn't have it difficult because he was always sought out by the best teams. He was always sought out by the teams with the most money. It's an irrelevant argument. It's an irrelevant argument.
I don't think it is irrelevant because someone else did. It doesn't diminish what Mourinho did with Porto in 2004 is more impressive than anything Pep's done in his career.
I 100% agree with that. Yes, 100%. Not even a second. Mourinho Porto team, even though it was before the era of big money, should never have done what they did.
No, they shouldn't. It was a beautiful thing. And Aberdeen winning the European Cup as well with Sir Alex. Yeah, I understand that.
As impressive as Pep has been, I've never once said, oh, wow, what this guy did this year, nobody could have done. I've never once thought that. And don't get me wrong.
I just respectfully disagree. Like
Pep is, I'm not going to lie, Pep is probably one of the funniest, coolest guys I've ever seen on Instagram and shit. Like, he's funny. Like, I like the guy. But just, I don't think anything he's done coaching-wise has made me think, yeah, you know what? That was really, that no one could have done that. When you got guys like Ancelotti there, when you got guys like Pep and Mourinho there, you got guys like Ferguson who found Ronaldo. Like, it's just, you don't have it. I don't see it.
What I will and say on top, Tony, what I will say on top, though, like I said, it's not a knock to Pep Guardiola, the fact that he never took a shit team to a big level. The one thing, though, is it's not a knock on him. It's not a what-if scenario. It's something missing from his resume. He's never had the chance. Sure.
You know why it's missing, boys? Because just like a Rolls Royce, not everybody can afford it. It's just when you're the best at what you do, you get sought out by the best. You want to talk about Pep? Fine. But I always love it. I love this saying, if ifs and buts were candies and nuts, we would all have a Merry Christmas. Pep coached Aberdeen all day long. You know what? Sure. He never got sought out by other teams because he played for Barcelona as a player. He was good. He wasn't great, but he was good for a long time. And then when he retired, they gave him a coaching job with their C team. And then he got promoted to the academy. And then he got promoted to the senior team. It was just how his career went. And obviously, it's not going to go different because it's how many years later, 2007 to now, 17 years later, and he has a million wins. I just don't think it's fair to bring it up. It's just not fair because it didn't happen.
Well, but you could still use it as a comparison because other coaches have done it.
How many Premier Leagues in a row, if Manchester City wins this year, would it be?
How many champions has he won with City?
Two or three in a row?
No, it'll be fourth. It'll never have been done.
I can't remember when Liverpool won.
I can't remember either.
No, 2000. Liverpool was 2020, the COVID year.
Liverpool was the COVID year, but they were far and away ahead of everybody.
This will be the fourth year in a row of winning the Prem,
which has never been done.
And I don't think it will be done. I don't think Man City.
It's the best league in the world, right? We want to talk about it being best league in the world. He's turned it into a farmer's league.
But the best tournament in the world, he's only won once with the City team.
Okay. You want to nitpick at that? Sure. He's made the Premier League into a farmer's league.
What do you mean nitpick?
It's a big nitpick because he's been to how many finals?
He didn't even win it with. He went to two finals with City. In eight seasons he's been there, right?
So let's hold the phone, Joe. Let's hold the phone. Before we keep going, Joe, you got to remember, me and Dante agree with you. Okay? me and Dante agree that Pep is top five. I had him second. Dante had him third. I'm just arguing. Yeah. But we got to remember, we're the logical ones here. I know you know what?
I'm going to log off on this shit. If you guys just going to act like you guys are logical, I'm just going to log off.
We are logical.
No, you know what?
I've disproved your logic.
This says the guy that Pep can, anyone can do, you know, a Pep can is just crazy.
You guys are just not respecting what I'm saying.
My favorite thing you said, Tony, was that you could coach that team.
Yeah, I could. Because that team,
that's nonsense. That's nonsense. How can we respect what you're saying when it's nonsense? It's complete and utter nonsense.
You know what? I'm out. You guys finish it off. I'm out. Don't worry about it. I'm out. I'm not doing it to continue this because I can have the comment I want. I want to make the comment I feel that I feel is true.
We've gone on too long.
I'm not doing this shit.
I don't.
I respect Tony as a person. I might not respect the opinion.
I respect him as a person. I don't respect that opinion at all.
I'm done with this shit. You guys piss me off to the max, man.
Oh, come on. Don't be a sourpuss, Tony. We like you.
Joe, don't even start because every time I see your name, the player, with a Bobby Lee to the George Jenko. You didn't get pissed off. Said, oh, no, but Pep found him. Yeah, but he didn't develop him.
We disagree.
Well, he did, though.
Sir Alex Ferguson did win the Premier League 3 years in a row, like three different times. So maybe not four times in a row, but three times in a row, three different times is pretty impressive.
Sir Alex is the best coach of all time. Period.
GOAT status. Listen, let's get on the same page. Can we all just say who we think the GOAT is, the best player of all time? I think we're all in agreement there.
I don't know about that.
We're all in agreement. We all think it's Cristiano Ronaldo.
Okay.
Dante? I know, Dante, you're the only one that you sometimes you're like, you love Ronaldo too, but you sometimes – what do you think, Dante?
I don't know. It's hard, man. It's such a hard question. Ugh.
Can I address this? I think Tony will agree. It's stupid to say there's a GOAT.
He got, I'm going Ronaldo.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We all four of us agree that it's Ronaldo.
I do not agree with that. No.
You said it at the beginning that Ronaldo's your GOAT.
I didn't. I said I really like him. I like him a lot. He's not my GOAT.
I'm pretty sure at the beginning, I have to rewind this clock.
I said any excuse to say I love Cristiano Ronaldo, I'll take. But I didn't say he was my GOAT.
I thought I heard you saying he was the best player of all time, Cristiano Ronaldo. That's, I have to rewind and double check.
Sure, if that makes you feel better. I know Portuguese, you want to feel better about your deity, but that's just not the case.
I got two other Italians on here that agree, and you know Italians and Portuguese.
I don't agree.
They don't mesh. Well, I'm not saying you two Italians, Tony and Dante.
I gotta say what you know, Ronaldo. I know we're going by age here and things like that. I know Messi's got the World Cup and stuff. It's hard.
It's always been Leo, and it'll always be Leo.
I 1,000% disagree, and Joe, I'd like to invite you to come back on where we can have this argument between me and you, because I could end this argument in 2 seconds. Because first of all, I know you know ball, so your argument won't be like a lot of the kids nowadays of, oh, where's Ronaldo's World Cup? Because Ronaldo's Euro Cup was more impressive than Messi's World Cup.
Oh, my good Lord in heaven. Before we continue, I just want to apologize to Dante because I interrupted him. Sorry, Dante. I interrupted you a second ago.
They played the exact same teams. And if you look at the
Nico, you need to just stop it right now.
You think Messi's World Cup is more impressive than Ronaldo's Portugal Euro Cup?
No, I don't think either are more impressive than the other. I think we just need to appreciate both of them. That's what we need to do.
I agree.
It's a stupid argument to have in general. It's just stupidity, in my opinion.
The logic, though, I've seen a lot of people now. The fact that before, you know, it was Messi, Ronaldo. Now after the World Cup, they're saying, no, it's definitely Messi, all this stuff because of the World Cup.
But those people are casuals anyway.
I think that argument is invalid. That argument to me is super invalid. The argument goes to different things. I strongly think that Messi is a product of his environment. Once he left Barcelona, what did he do?
Well, he won a World Cup with Argentina. What do you mean? What did he do?
I'm talking club.
No, club wise, nothing. Club wise, nothing. Yeah, the first year with PSG, maybe he had like 5 goal contributions or something, but that's about it. Like he didn't even really do anything.
It was all assists, and he wasn't the best player on that team. The one thing you can say about Ronaldo,
he wanted to prop up Mbappe. That was what he was doing.
But the one thing you can say about Ronaldo is he's always every team he's been on, he's always been the best player.
Yes. Yes.
That can't be. Now, when Messi went to PSG, it wasn't. You know, there's a lot we could talk about. His time at Barcelona is obviously legendary, but I think he was a product of his environment. We'll use this as like a trailer to go into our next time Joe comes on, because me and you, I think we can get into this pretty big as an argument from both sides, because I have a lot to say about this, because I do think a lot of it is also jealousy.
I just think the GOAT conversation in general is a waste of a lot of our energy. Like it's a sport that's a team sport in general. Like we want to talk about Tom Brady being the greatest NFL player. Sure, he's done the most winning, and you can't argue it. He probably is the greatest. But for me, I've seen, like, we're 30 years old, guys. We've seen some unbelievable talent in our lifetime. Like unbelievable talent. Oh, yeah. Like Mohamed Salah to me. Yeah. Gets so underrated because he's just the country he plays for, and nobody wants to talk about him. But that's another example of a guy that's just going to get lost in history, that didn't win Ballon d'Ors because of who he was playing against in his career. That's one of my favorite players to watch. Like, I love Mo, and it's hard for me to admit because I can't stand Liverpool, but I love Mo, you know? So it's just a silly conversation to have in general, is what I'm trying to get at. But if I have to pick, because I'm part Argentinian and because I love Leo with my entire heart, I'm going to pick him. But it doesn't mean I don't like Cristiano. I'm going to be one of those silly fans that picks one over the other and argues till they die about it. Just feel silly, you know?
Yeah, I can understand that logic. I personally love having these conversations because it's a fun argument for me to have, because I have a I like I like arguing with Messi, with people who think it's Messi and people I think it's Ronaldo, because I have a lot of arguments that they never have answers for. But then I need someone who's someone like you, Joe, who could come back at me with some good things, because that's the problem with a lot of Messi fans is most of them are casuals.
Most Ronaldo fans are casuals too. They only watch their favorite player play, right?
I would disagree. I would say they're not even fans. A lot of the Ronaldo fans are not even casuals.
What are they?
If that makes sense. They're people that see I Show Speed loving Ronaldo.
So they God.
On that train.
Can't stand
they,
that,
see
man.
The, they see the advertising. I mean, Ronaldo's the most popular person in the world. If you go by, to me, what's the biggest popularity contest in the world? Social media. Who has the most followers? Is Cristiano Ronaldo. He is the biggest celebrity in the world. And I think that's what gets him a lot of extra fans as well. Not necessarily soccer fans. But when I've talked to a lot of people who know footy, it goes in one direction. There's always one reason people like Messi, one reason people like Ronaldo. And that's what I like discussing. You know what I mean? So we can get into that into a future episode. Guys, it's already gone. I think we're gone over an hour now. Motherfucker, I knew this would be
That's my fault, boys. I talk too much.
No, this is why we brought you on, Joe. So, guys, follow us everywhere. Spotify, Apple Music, Instagram, TikTok, all at FootyLG. We'll be back here next Thursday discussing what's gone on in the past Champions League week, and we will be foreshadowing the upcoming Champions League week. Spoiler alert, I'm taking Porto to beat Arsenal.
Let's go. That, me too. Let's
other
go.
Than that, everyone have a great week, boys. Joe, thank you for joining to the OG Footy LG boys. Dante, Tony, and myself, Nico, we thank you guys for listening. Have yourselves a great rest of your week.
Oh, that was fun. Poor Tony. He's so mad.
I know. He's fucking
pissed. Those takes were fucking wild. I just couldn't even.
I know. Yeah, we'll talk in a bit, Joe. We'll
hang All right, bro. Take Thanks, care. Eh? I had fun.
Okay, Bella. Ciao.
Ciao.